Hello, fellow seekers and believers. This is Renee Antrosio, pastor of New Covenant Fellowship, and I am thankful to be able to share this virtual space with you in worship today. Whether or not you celebrate Mother's Day in any fashion, many of us are thinking about the mothers in our lives. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of sharing a blog post that my mother wrote for her church in Bellevue, Washington, which provides a window into the faith that I grew up in and is another picture of the ideas we'll be thinking about today. So if you missed it or want to go back and reread, it's on New Covenant's website at ncf-cu.com in the blog section titled Dependence on God. One of the fun challenges of online worship has been choosing titles for teachings that capture the content in a few words. The Acts passage for today intrigued me in the way that the conventional order of coming to faith got changed up. The logical process was to read the Bible, have someone explain how the Hebrew scriptures pointed to Jesus as Messiah, believe that God had raised him from the dead after his suffering and crucifixion, be baptized in Jesus' name, and then sometime later receive the Holy Spirit. But when it came to the Gentiles' inclusion in the Good News, things were out of order, which was my first title. But a friend said it sounded too much like a bathroom stall that needed fixing. So let us pray instead that God speaks to us not just about what needs fixing, but also that we may have eyes to see what God is doing right in front of us, and the courage to join in. Amen. I love the dynamic of this story, how the Holy Spirit is out in front, ahead of the disciples, preparing Gentiles to believe, and then falling dramatically on all who heard the word. Peter and the other Jewish believers that had come with him were shocked. They weren't quite sure that Gentiles were even capable of being saved, and certainly thought it would have been a much longer process. First, the pagans would hear God's word. Then they would need to embrace the holy lifestyle and study of the Torah, convert to Judaism, be baptized in water, and then perhaps be eligible for the Holy Spirit. Frankly, it could take years for them to change their hearts and lives. This was not a field of ministry that Peter was looking for. He had no desire to preach to the Gentiles. Didn't Jesus say to go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? The priority was to first tell those in Jerusalem, and then their fellow Israelite brethren throughout the world. The strategy was to go from synagogue to synagogue, as Jesus had, explaining the scriptures to those gathered on the Sabbath that the Messiah that Israel was waiting for was Jesus. But the Holy Spirit moved out in front of them, changing the order, disrupting the priorities, upending their understanding of who needed to hear and who was eligible for salvation. This pattern of disrupting the way we see ourselves and the world is a disturbingly common characteristic of God's movement in our lives, churches, and communities. The Holy Spirit blesses activities, movements, and people that we often reject as not like us, uninterested, unlikely, inconvenient, and opposite of the order of things. I have experienced this life-altering intervention of the Holy Spirit at times when I least expected it. In early 2015, when a friend on New Covenant's leadership team floated the suggestion of me giving a teaching, the idea seemed preposterous. I was less involved in church at that point in my life than I had ever been. I no longer served in the nursery, or worked with the youth group, or even stayed for congregational meetings. I was comfortable with arriving on time and being the first one out the door after the final song. There was a new young pastor and a competent leadership team who had things in hand. My own spiritual life wasn't particularly vibrant, and I felt fine investing my time in my job and my friendships and other activities. So, no, I wasn't interested in giving a teaching, and I didn't have anything to say or contribute. I remember clearly the day that Jason Berg bugged me about it again, saying that he was hearing from the Lord that I should do a teaching. He knew that my 1 year at seminary was 20 years in the past, and I had never given a sermon, either at Eastern Mennonite or in all my church-going life. I wasn't a preacher, and I wasn't particularly pastoral. But nonetheless, he persisted. To ward him off, I agreed to pray about it, which really only meant opening my mind a crack, finding nothing, and then getting him to back off. We were eating outside at the Esquire, our regular Sunday lunch. I got up and went to the bathroom, and the Holy Spirit gave me a teaching. The idea, the content, the title, all arrived in my brain at once. Not the PowerPoint or the words, though, so I would have to do some work. But I reluctantly had to admit, when I went back to the table, that I now had something to say, so I would concede to one teaching. The Holy Spirit was out in front, prompting Jason repeatedly to talk to me, and then overwhelming me with the message, too obvious to ignore. Peter wasn't intending to baptize those Gentiles. That was not the ministry that he would have chosen. But the evidence of the Holy Spirit was too much to ignore as they were speaking in tongues right in front of them, despite not having done any of the steps of faith in the right order. Perhaps there are times in your life that you can look back and see where God was at work, out in front of you, changing your plans with an overwhelmingly obvious blessing in a different direction. Or maybe the Holy Spirit has been more subtle in your experience, gentle nudges and quiet voices of the community of faith. In John 3:8, Jesus says, "God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. It's the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Sometimes we hear the sound. Other times we only recognize the work of the Spirit when we look back and reflect on the movement in our lives. We experience this as individuals, but also as a congregation. I sometimes marvel at the things that I would not have chosen as a direction for New Covenant, but were so clearly blessed by God that I was compelled to get on board with what the Spirit was already doing right in front of us. The Good Friday Street Fest that we hosted in 2018 seemed like a crazy idea. Outdoor music in March in Illinois, partnering with Restoration Urban Ministries, getting a Congolese singer that I'd never heard of as a headliner, and publicizing it in the newspaper? As if getting ready for Easter wasn't enough work, we set up a stage in the street and ran all the electrical equipment out the windows. And of course, it started storming halfway through and we scrambled to move it inside. Chaos and stress. And yet, the event was so clearly blessed that it became even bigger in 2019. The sanctuary was filled with people I didn't know, and news cameras were doing interviews, and I was totally overwhelmed by the energy of the community coming together against violence across racial and church distinctions in music that rocked the room. For an introvert, the pandemic provided an excuse to stay home, a relief from the intensity of interaction. We were released from the responsibility of planning another community event, especially something weather dependent, for a while. And I was certainly in no hurry, content to hunker down and figure out the online church thing for our congregation, attending to our safety and fellowship needs locally. But the Holy Spirit keeps moving out in front. not letting us get content with the status quo or allowing us to think that we've figured out the plan, changing up the order of things. I imagined our reparations conversations as a dozen of us at the building, like when we did the LGBTQ Sticky Scripture series, on Saturday mornings once a month. New Covenant folks who've been committed to repair for a long time, sharing information and ideas. But the pandemic progressed, and it was clear we'd have to stick with Zoom if we were to do it at all. So I was willing to expand my concept to include folks like Bill Sutton and Marty Shupak, longtime NCFers with legal and historical knowledge who no longer reside in Champaign-Urbana. But I couldn't get a high school history teacher to present on Holocaust reparations, which is where I felt strongly that we needed to start. And so I reached out to Rabbi Cook, who referred me to folks at our Jewish Federation, and somehow got connected with a leading expert in civil rights law and history. Thankfully, I didn't Google Dr. Paul Finkelman before I emailed him, or I never would have been bold enough to call on someone who Ruth Bader Ginsburg quoted in a majority opinion and has been called upon by the U.S. Supreme Court numerous times as an expert witness. He usually talks to lawyers, not churches. But the societal problem of how to enact reparations reaches far beyond religion or Champaign-Urbana. And I found ourselves blown by the Holy Spirit into hosting something much bigger than I ever imagined. Meanwhile, churches are reopening all around us as vaccination rates rise. But the word on the wind is that people feel more comfortable outside. We are eager to sing again, but cautious and concerned about whether it's safe. As I contemplated what this means for us now, I took a look at our online ministry. The numbers were astonishing. This April, 646 people visited our website, with an average of 3 times per person. So many more than would fit in the sanctuary. Since we started posting music on Spotify just this March, it has been streamed over 2,000 times. These are certainly different languages than we have previously known. If the Spirit is being poured out on our online ministry, who am I to withhold baptism from this unexpected audience? When the apostles began extending the message of salvation to the Gentiles, they did not abandon Jerusalem. That was still the center of the church, the heart of the movement. Embracing the new work because of the outpouring of the Spirit did not negate their first ministry. It was both and, not one or the other, which could have been overwhelming. But like in the case where the apostles appointed leaders to care for the food distribution to the widows, God had in mind additional disciples for the work of preaching to the Gentiles. As the rock of the church, Peter needed to be the first to witness this new and shocking move of the Spirit, to testify to its power. But Paul became the primary evangelist to the Gentiles, while Peter concentrated on the ministry to the Jews. As Paul wrote in Galatians 2, "Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation, and, meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. They recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. As the Holy Spirit moves out in front of us, I wonder what leaders will emerge for these different aspects of ministry, while, like Paul, we continue to remember the poor. How will our commitment to justice and mercy influence these different parts of our calling? The new language of podcasts and online music that surprises us in its ability to reach people that we never imagined would want to hear. The recurring calling to be leaders in bringing people together, in the past for Good Friday Street Fests, and now for Zoom reparations conversations. And the heart of our fellowship here in Champaign-Urbana, beginning to recongregate outside in local parks and gardens. Rather than get overwhelmed by the need to distribute food to the widows, preach and pray in Jerusalem, and go out to witness to the Gentiles, we trust that God will provide the people, the gifts, the energy, the leadership, and the blessing to the work. The church is the Lord's, the outpouring is the Holy Spirit's, and the responsibility and glory belong to God. May we recognize the movement of the Holy Spirit when it surprises us, in our own lives and in the life of our fellowship. May we welcome it with joy and baptize it in blessing. May we be renewed by the disordering of our plans and trust God to always be out in front of us. Amen.